Very good. So find a way to a seat, please, here. I wish you a happy Easter again. You know, for what it's worth, this is called Enjoy the Lord, for Heaven's Sake. That's what it's called. The tomb is empty. The tomb. It's empty. Its occupant has gone to prepare a place for his followers so that where he is, we may be also. You know, it is, Jesus said it this way, that in heaven there is neither marriage or giving in marriage. I bring this up because we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 7 just a little bit today. And 1 Corinthians 7 is all about marriage. But a greater experience of closeness and oneness will be known when we get there, both with the Lord and with one another. But the church in Corinth had questions about marriage. The Corinthians lived in such a decadent society sexually that it cast a negativity on marriage and on sexual relations even within a marriage. And so the church wrote to Paul to try to understand how are they supposed to think about marriage. And so chapter 7 takes on all sorts of questions about marriage and divorce and remarriage and all that stuff. But nestled within this chapter, there's a short passage that shows much what Luke was talking about. This is very uncoordinated. I did not know till this morning what we were even singing. I found out yesterday I was singing. We didn't talk about this, but much of what Luke shared in that last little sermon was this message. There is an overarching principle that is found in 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to focus on that this morning. By the way, it's a message that's born in the empty tomb. Let's pray here. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And more than anything else, I ask you that you would speak through your word. Touch our hearts this morning. Bring about salvation where salvation is needed here. Bring about healing and wholeness. Bring about comfort, whatever the need may be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here's another new thing for you this morning. I'm going to read from the New Living Bible. How about that? 1 Corinthians 7, and this is starting in verse 25 if you want to follow along. Now, regarding your question about the young women who are not yet married, I do not have a command from the Lord for them, but the Lord in his mercy has given me wisdom that may be trusted, and I'll share it with you. Because of the present crisis, and some think that there were two famines around this time when this letter was written, that could be one of the crises he's referring to. There was an earthquake, could be that, whatever it was. Because of the present crisis, I think it best to remain as you are. If you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles, and I'm trying to spare you these problems. But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters. The time that remains is very short. So from now on, those who have wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possession. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them. For this world as we know it will soon pass away. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking up how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or who has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions. I want you to do Whatever will help you serve the Lord best, with as few distractions as possible. And so in verse 29, Paul says that the time is very short, or the New American says it has been shortened. And that word that is translated that way, being shortened, is a Greek word which has funny meanings. It means to roll together, to roll together, or to be bound with bandages, or to connect, or to draw together. And what he means, partly, is that because of the empty tomb, life on earth is drawn up together with where he is. That's where we are seated, we're told in Colossians. Because of the empty tomb, we look beyond the grave to our purpose in life, to a time after the grave. And life on earth and marriage on earth is swallowed up. It is wrapped around. It is bound up in what Jesus Christ is about. That is what the empty tomb is about. Life now and marriage now is connected to an eternal purpose, as surely as the former occupant now lives on eternally. I think of it this way, that the distance between the earthly and the eternity has been shortened. Sure, it's a time thing. I know. Our time on earth has been shortened. It's much shorter now than when Paul said that time has been shortened. But there's another meaning to it, and it is that our purpose in life is drawn together. It is rolled together in the divine purpose. Later in this letter, Paul makes the statement that death is swallowed up in victory. It would have been best to read chapter 15 this morning, I guess. That's the resurrection chapter. This is okay. There's a precept that we're trying to draw attention to, our marriage to Christ here this morning, that is appropriate. But in chapter 15, he says that death is swallowed up in victory. He means that we'll still draw, we're still going to die, but it's not a complete death. For those of you Princess Bride folks, we're not completely dead, we're just mostly dead. Yeah? Yeah. It's not an annihilation. It's not a cessation of existence. And the life that we're living now is connected with the life that we will live then. We are divine in our purpose, especially if you know Christ this morning here. Your life has a divine purpose. Last week, Tim read from chapter 6 of this letter, and it said that he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Marriage is just a mystery. Union with Christ is a greater mystery. Even greater mystery. When a man and a woman live together as one, that is a difficult proposition. It's a lifelong proposition in coming together. When we live in unity with Christ, that is an even greater mystery. Two people living as one takes work, it takes agreement, it takes humility, it takes commitment, and it takes time. And a Christian abiding in Christ likewise takes a little bit of devotional time. It takes a little bit of effort. It takes a little bit of humility. It was to this church, the Corinthian church, that Paul said, I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself, because I promised you to one husband, that to Christ. The church is the bride. The empty tomb is convincing testimony that Jesus will come back to get his bride. You know, Jesus literally died. A lot of times we say, I'm dying for that person, or I'm dying for this, I'm dying for that. Jesus literally died to redeem his bride. If he died to redeem her, don't you think he thinks about her day and night? And if he thinks about her day and night, here's the right attitude to have. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If we are the bride of Christ, this is our heartbeat. You are the bride of Christ, and he loves you. He longs to have fellowship with you. Listen to this statement that the Apostle John heard in heaven. He heard this. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. That's the part we're in right now. Following him, doing what he urges us to do. And we'll have fine linen to be glorified with. Next week, Tim's going to look at some of the details of the wisdom for courtship and marriage and other sticky dilemmas that come about in relationships in this fallen world, right, Tim? Yeah. But I just wanted us to know that because of the empty tomb, we have a husband who is waiting for us. And it would be good for us to let this good hope govern and overshadow our lives, whether married or not. So may we think deeply, freshly on the risen Christ, the victor over death, the carpenter of heaven, preparing a place for us, and let the things of earth take their proper place. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the empty tomb. We thank you that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, one song says. I know that he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Oh, God, be near us today. We want to draw near to you.